Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you very cordially to the traditional press conference of the Commissioner for Agricultural Affairs here at International Green Week. My name is Harald Hindel. I am the press spokesman of the European Commission here in Germany, and I'd like to introduce to my right-hand side the Commissioner for Agriculture, Marianne Fischer-Bohl, and next to her, her spokesman, Michael Mann. Michael Mann will be in charge of this press conference. Let me quickly tell you how we will proceed. You can ask your questions in German or English. Michael Mann will then indicate who can ask the question, and the colleague with the microphone will come to you. So please only speak when you have a microphone so that we can have simultaneous translation. I would also like to point out that following this press conference, just as last year, we will award the communication award for the agricultural journalists. It will be presented by Ms. Fischer-Bohl. So, Michael, it's your turn.
First, start off with a brief introduction from the Commissioner of 5 or 10 minutes, and then you're free to ask your questions. We should have about at least half an hour for questions, I think. And, you know, you can ask in English, German, or even French. Please, without further ado, Commissioner.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be back in Berlin for the for International Green Week. I really feel at home here.
The program seems to be more or less the same, so it feels quite good. And I'm also happy to have the possibility here to discuss with you some of the issues that I discussed just 30 minutes ago with the Agricultural Committee in their Bundestag. I'm, of course, looking forward to this next 6 months with a huge expectation, and I'm looking forward to working with the German presidency. And I'm quite sure that we will have a very busy time. First of all, because of two big new reforms. First of all, on the 24th of January, the fruit and vegetable reform that will be in line with the ideas that were lying behind the 2003 reform, namely the decoupling of the payment from the production. And I will take this opportunity on this fruit and vegetable reform to introduce as well simplification, which will be an ongoing task for us to cut red tape wherever possible in the agricultural legislation. I think it's clear that we need to get out of the old-fashioned type of support and try to fit to make our fruit and vegetable sector fit to meet the competition from abroad. And then, secondly, and I think it's very important to underline that fruit and vegetable is very important for the health. And we will include in the reform proposal ideas how to encourage specifically the young generation to get good habits for eating I think it's about 600 grams of different types of fruit every day, to push this these ideas, especially among the young generation. We also take the opportunity to boost the organic production in the fruit and vegetable reform proposal. It will be on the basis of the discussion that we have had in the Council on the organic regulation that hopefully will be finalized during the German presidency. Another very interesting issue that we will be discussing will be wine, a new wine reform. For me, there's no doubt that we need to win back some of the markets that we have been losing to the very strong wines from the new wine world. We need to free our producers to make them possible to compete. I've said clearly from the very beginning, I didn't want to make this reform a saving round. So we will keep available the same amount of money that is at present in the wine sector, namely around about 1.3 billion euros. I have taken the opportunity as well to travel around the different wine areas in Europe. And recently I spent a full day at the beautiful Mosel region around Bernkastel, and I take the opportunity to meet local politicians as well to get an input so that we can finalize the legal proposals before the summer break. Last week, the Commission published a very ambitious strategy to cut greenhouse gas emission and to reduce the dependency within the European Union on imported fossil fuels. This includes a compulsory target of 10% for biofuels in the transport mix by 2020. And besides this being a good news for our energy market, for the environment, I think it is as well an excellent opportunity for the farmers to find a new outlet for their products. I don't think it's an issue that can save our agricultural sector. I think it's a possibility for a niche production that can be very interesting. And I think we should take the opportunity in areas where the sugar have been taken out of production, maybe to consider investments in bioethanol production from sugar beet. There are also concerns about the competition between production for energy and production for feed. But it's obvious that we will need imported ethanol as well. And we all know that Brazil, for example, is a very competitive producer. And we will try to find the right balance not to destroy our markets. It's quite clear that when we have this import, we will take into consideration to ensure environmentally sustainable practices in the areas from where we import. It's specifically within the palm oil sector that we have to be cautious. It's obvious as well that now we have two new member states, Bulgaria and Romania, and they have a potential for production for both renewable energies and for feed. The simplification, as I said previously, will be part of all the discussions that we have within agriculture. And I have agreed with Minister Seehofer that on cross compliance, that have been a pain in the ass.
You can say that.
You can say that for many farmers. That we are looking into possibilities of simplifying the system. And we will present in March, for the Council in March, ideas on how to simplify the cross-compliance. I think it's important to maintain the idea behind cross-compliance. I think it's sound and healthy, because this is a way to explain to taxpayers, to consumers, that the direct payment to the farming society is not for free. So therefore, I have no intention of abolishing the cross-compliance, but I admit that there are insecurity within the agricultural sector, and therefore we need to be more precise on the legislation, on the ruling, and to discuss some ideas of how to make it more simple. I will not go into details, but I have in my pocket some very good ideas. Then we will start the discussion on the health check of the Common Agricultural Policy, to which we committed ourselves when we agreed on the reform in 2003, the big CAP reform, and the reform on the cotton, on the tobacco and on olive oils in 2004. So we will look into this reforms to see how they function. And I call it a health check, because I deliberately want to send the clear signal that it is no new reform. It's only a question of slimlining, simplifying our present policy. And I will do my utmost to defend the present budget available for the agricultural sector until the end of 2013. The budget that was agreed among heads of states in 2002. So it's not a new reform. This is important. But let's see what we can do to make the reform more well functioning. And here I should like to have a discussion on more decoupling. I think the idea to decouple the payment from the production is a sound and healthy one. So let's see whether we can increase the percentages of decoupling. And then we will have a discussion on the in the midterm review of the financial perspectives on what is European agriculture going to look like after 2013. I think it is important that we dare take this discussion, because I think that our farming society can adapt when they have the possibility to prepare themselves in due time. Predictability, ladies and gentlemen, is desperately important for the agricultural sector. Then they will know how to face new challenges when they have a certain number of years to prepare for changes. Finally, the Doha round that was put in the freezer at the end of July last year. We have had ongoing technical discussions between the big players, and I hope that it will be possible to find a solution, but we have a very small window of opportunities. I think within the next 2 months we should hopefully find an agreement that can satisfy all the members of the WTO. We have shown that we are willing to find a solution. We have been putting ideas on the table, but we have seen no movements from the United States. So I hope that they will show now their willingness to move, and then hopefully within short we should be able to find an agreement. If we don't do that, then we have to foresee that nothing can happen, from my point of view, until the next administration is taking seat in Washington, which means 2009-10. And I think this is a pity. So let's do an extra effort again to try to get this moving. If nothing happens, we all know that the bilateral discussions with different players all over the world will start up with a renewed efficiency. But we cannot solve all the problems in bilateral agreements. We cannot discipline the trade disturbing domestic support in different countries. So let's hope that we can make it, and the European Union is ready to make its contribution. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Commissioner. As I say, if you want to ask a question, if you could just raise your hand very high in the air so that I can see you. And also, I'd be very grateful if you could tell us who it is you're working for. The first question is at the front there.
My name is Jens Dorstrek. I am the German correspondent for a Polish newspaper. Rzeczpospolita, and I have a question concerning the negotiations that took place today and yesterday in Berlin on the topic of meat exports from Poland, Romania, and Bulgaria to Russia. And now, at what stage are these negotiations, and can we expect the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding with Russia tomorrow, and what do you think should be a part of this?
The European Union has been engaged on Thursday afternoon, yesterday, on Wednesday, in constructive discussions on the technical level with the Russian authorities on two issues. First of all, concerning Romania and Bulgaria, we try to make sure that all the commitments that have been agreed in the memorandum of understanding agreed by Commissioner Kyprianou with Mr. Godayev in Moscow just before Christmas last year are being properly implemented ahead of the formal signing of the memorandum of understanding that will take place here on Friday at 5:00. In light of Commissioner Kyprianou's meeting with Minister Leper in Warsaw, I think it was last Monday, to provide all the necessary guarantees and information to the Russian side so that the embargo, the present embargo on Polish meat and plant products can be lifted. The discussions are ongoing and contacts will continue at the technical level. And the next step will be the meeting at political level, as mentioned, with Kyprianou and Godayev on Friday. As far as I know, Minister Seehofer will be there for the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding.
The next question was at the front here.
Wendt, I am here for the animal welfare for the Tierschutz. Ms. Fischer-Ball, I would like to know from you whether there are any thoughts or ideas about cost compliance shifts from the first to the second column and how these could be stronger promoted. If, for example, as in the Federal Republic, there are problems because of the federal structure of a state, that is, that if federal states are not willing to comply with that shift. And then I'd like to know from you whether the EU has any thoughts or ideas about how to really counter a development where renewable raw material would push back the production of grain and the region where I come from, for example, every 10 kilometers you can find a power plant that, of course, is fired with corn in the first field. So these areas would be a loss to growing cereals and grain, which in the end means the production of bread. And we are also concerned about the shift in the field of grain growing, because increasingly the animal food is important from third world countries or emerging countries, and we can absolutely not understand how Brazil can be an export world champion in this field while at the same time 25% of their population is really in hunger. That means that our animals are basically eating the food of the people in that country because we've made them competitors for food.
First of all, on the renewable energy, I said deliberately that I think it's a niche possibility for European agriculture, because we have to keep in mind that we are now on the first generation of ethanol. And on the first generation, you use mainly cereals, maize, wheat, or whatever. We all know that there's an ongoing research within possibilities to promote or to push the second generation of bioethanol. And the second generation of bioethanol will be produced on slurry, on waste from slaughterhouses, on maybe on full, what do you say, full cereals, straw and the axis? I don't know, but everything from the plant can be used in the second generation. So I'm a bit cautious that we make ourselves too dependent on the first generation. And I think, as I said previously, we have to set aside land. To me, the whole idea of compulsory set aside can be questioned, both because of the renewable energy and because of the decoupled payment. And thirdly, we have today an export of cereals out of the European Union, and if we keep our export for ourselves, we we will not be in a situation as you describe from my point of view. And I mentioned previously Romania and Bulgaria as suppliers for the cereal sector as well. There will be cross-compliance on the rural development from 2007. And as I said previously, we are looking into the cross-compliance regulation to make it more simple, more handy, but to maintain the idea behind the cross-compliance system.
I think the next question was there.
Buskowski from the Badische Bauernzeitung in Freiburg. Ms. Fischer-Buhl, your speech in Oxford, you're quoted with that speech having made a statement that farmers should, after 2013, look for new jobs. Could you perhaps give us a more concrete insight of what you wanted to say there, or is it just a wrong quote?
I think it's important that you hear it from the horse mouth, you know, what was actually said. And I don't think it was in Oxford, but it doesn't matter. But I said clearly that I think it is important that the farming society take into consideration to have a diversified production, which means that if you want, for example, to increase your the quality of your production, it could be a conversion into the organic production that could increase your bottom line. That was my idea behind this possibility of an income from outside agriculture. If you look at the situation of the income of the wife, I mean, I think you would see a situation where women in the rural areas will have an income from outside agriculture as well. And today, you have a lot of part-time farmers that have their income from outside the agricultural sector. Because if we want to maintain a diversified agricultural sector and to maintain people in the rural areas, I think you have to realize that you would not be able to live from 10 hectares in future. So therefore, you can keep your farm, but you need an income as well from outside. So it was not nearly as dramatic as you would like it to be.
I think we should take a question from a lady at this point.
Thank you very much. My name is Marita Wegerthaler from Oxfam, Germany. I have first a question with regard to transparency. We welcome very much the initiative by the Commission to improve transparency at the European level. However, we are disappointed that for the agriculture sector, the transparency will only be assured in 2009. So, one of the reasons is the health check, one of the reasons is the midterm the financial review as well. So my question would be, what are the next steps that you will undertake? There are still some implementation regulations that are needed for export subsidies, for market organizations, for direct payments. And in Germany, we are fighting for the improved transparency already in 2008 because we understand it as a minimum, but it doesn't mean that Germany cannot reveal the data already in 2008. But therefore, it would be very important to have the respective regulations very early in place. Another point where I think there are different positions is the question of who will publish the information. Is it the European Commission or is it done at the national level? And will there be different time schedules for the different subsidies, meaning direct payments, export subsidies, and second pillar payments? The second very brief question is with regard to the WTO. I'm not very optimistic that within the time frame given there will be a possibility to conclude the negotiations. However, I mean, my question would be, do you see signals in the USA that there is a prolongment of a trade promotion authority possible? And final questions, the European Commission is pursuing a very aggressive bilateral trade agenda, notwithstanding that the WTO negotiations are still underway, and it's based on the Global Europe strategy. From a development perspective, of course, we are very much concerned that the further opening up of the markets would harm the interests of small farmers, that they are driven out of business, that food security concerns are not being taken into account. Is there not a clash between the export interests that the European Commission is pursuing and the development interest and the coherence?
First of all, on the transparency initiative, which I have supported from the very, very beginning. We have a situation today where I think it's 14 member states that have already published all the figures. And we have opened on the internet in our department a website with links to the different member states so that you can see immediately who has already published the figures and who are stepping a bit back from it. The country I know best, we published the figures back in 2003, all the figures, also the export refunds. And that shows clearly that the biggest winners, that's the big companies. That is obvious. And I hope that that all member states will follow as soon as possible. We have actually sent the clear signal that step on to the possibility and get the link to our website. On the bilateral trade and on the possibility of prolonging the TPA, there's a new situation on the Capitol Hill. The Democrats have been winning the majority in the Senate and in the House of Representatives. So I wouldn't be able to say exactly what will happen at this stage. You have the budget, you have your new farm bill, and you have the TPA. But we are, until we see the opposite, we are hopeful for a positive solution. On the bilateral trade, I think it's important, and I take the opportunity to repeat this whenever I can. Europe is today the part of the world that is the most open to imports from the poorest countries in the world. We have this everything but arms agreement back from 2001. And Europe is today the biggest importer of agricultural commodities from the least developed countries in the world. We are bigger importers than Canada, United States, Japan, and Australia altogether. I think this has to be taken into consideration. And we are now in a phasing out totally of all limits on volume, and we are reducing to zero the import tariffs on the important areas. That's sugar, that's bananas, and it's rice. So we have shown what needs to be done to support the development in the least developed part of the world.
The next question was the gentleman on the front row.
Gavin Klinger from the Dow Jones News Agency. I have a question. Are there any plans to change the cereal intervention? And if yes, is there a time schedule and what is the horizon?
Do you know what happens if I said exactly what would happen to the intervention system? We would influence the market immediately. So come on. But it was a good try.
Amazing.
We have decided to be discussed on the next council meeting the abolition of intervention on maize. And this is because of the fact that we see a situation in the landlocked areas, mainly in Hungary, where we have at present about 5 million tons of maize on stock. And if we do nothing, we can see an dramatic increase over the coming years. So this was a necessary step. And I think you have to take into consideration what actually happened in 2003 when we abolished the intervention system on rye. where the rye problem was the major problem in Germany. And look at the price level of rye today compared to 2003. I think it will be a positive experience.
Next question in the middle of the second row here.
Ja, Knebel, mein Name, vom Pressedienst.
Knebel with Pressedienst Agra Europe. Ms. Fischer-Boll, you had the possibility of, or you mentioned the possibility of abolishing fields that are in competition for production for feed or for food. Will that happen before the health check? And second question, here in Germany, we also want to have standards for sustainability at the national level as far as the production of biofuels are concerned. You said at the European level, this is also something that's thinkable. What should the criteria for that be? Should only the rainforest play a role, or should other criteria also be included?
The reason for discussing the abolition of the set-aside system is mainly due to the importance of this system in a decoupled politics for our agricultural sector. But I think that when we look at it from renewable energy side, this is quite natural that we need this these areas. I still think that we will maintain a voluntary set aside, and I think that there will be many corners and strips along forests, etc., that will maintain as set aside side land. On the sustainability, on the products that will be used for renewable energies. It's quite clear that specifically on the import, as I said previously, on the palm oil, that we have to look into the sustainability in the areas from where we import. We have not taken any specific steps on special rules for producing energy within the European Union, but it's obvious that we take any opportunity to see whether it's from a pesticide point of view there could be a reduced use of pesticides because the quality is less important than when it's for feed.
There's a gentleman right at the back there with a beard. Right at the back.
Hans Simmers, freelance journalist from the Netherlands. Ich habe zwei Fragen.
I have two questions. When will the dairy cattle producers know when the milk quota will be abolished? And secondly, in Herning, you said something about a location criteria or smell criterion. What do you mean by that? Odor from the animals, smell, an odor criterion, smell criterion.
The decision to phase out a milk quota system has already been taken in the reform. And if we do nothing, there will be no quota system after 31st of March 2015. But I just want to underline that this is going to happen because last time when the quota system should have been phased out, there was a prolongation of the quota system. I think that if we want to be competitive, we need to send the signal to the farmers that this quota system will be phased out. I think we need to say so because of the fact that in your country, the price for the quotas are extremely high, and the young farmers that want to invest, they have to calculate the investment in the buying of the quotas before they can even start their production. I don't know what the level is today, but it has been as high as 2.5 euros per liter. And that is not, I mean, this is simply not working. So therefore, let's maintain the decision, but let's underline that then it is or it is gone for forever. On the discussion on smell, which is of course of a huge interest in the country I know best because of the intensive pork production, pig production. It is not acceptable for people in small villages that this not very nice smell of pig is lying over the whole village. And therefore, I think in future, you would need to reduce the smell from pig production. We are not yet there, but lots is happening, and you can reduce from what I saw in Herning about 50% of the smell. But I think we need to invest further in research to be improving the figures. I think that this is desperately important, I presume, in Netherlands as well.
There's a gentleman in the second row who's been waiting a long time.
Lepiasz, Polnische Presseagentur. Ich möchte
Polish Press Agency. I'd like to quickly talk about the meat problem, Ms. Commissioner. The main promotion on the Russian side is in saying that the European Union has its own controls at the external borders for the meat imports. Do you think that this request of the Russians is realistic? Is it acceptable?
Important to find a solution on the ban of the Polish meat and cereals.
It's all products.
It's all agricultural products as soon as possible.
Front row there, please. Front row. Yeah.
Tope Tabaga. Eine Frage zum Zucker.
Tope Tabaga, I have a question on the sugar market. So far, we are seeing that the restructuring program doesn't go as smoothly as expected and that not enough quotas will be returned until the due date. How will the EU Commission react and how quickly, if we continue to have mild weather like this, maybe in 5 or 6 weeks, we will have the first drilling for sugar beets and then the producers and the farmers need clarity?
First of all, I am actually very disappointed on the outcome of the second year of the restructuring. First year we managed to get out 1.5 million tons, but this year have been very disappointing, only about 700,000 tons. So we are actually in a situation where we should have had another 3.5 million tons withdrawn from the market. And I have tried to encourage those companies, those member states where it's state-owned, to realize that if you cannot compete at 404 euros per ton, then get out of the market now, because now you have a possibility to get the 730 euros per ton in restructuring. You know, we know that restructuring compensation will be going down and the prices will be going down. So I think that that there should be a huge consideration in some member states on whether to take this difficult decision. I have been met by inquiries from Germany, from Austria make this preventive withdrawal now, before the season is starting. The problem is that we do not have the same legal basis to make this preventive withdrawal this year as we had last year, because we had this possibility. I'm looking into any legal basis to see whether we can make a prevents a withdrawal before the season is starting up. But I can only again underline the importance of those that could be on the borderline, or that could easily see that they cannot stay in business, to take the final decision as soon as possible. Because it, I would not like to be in a situation where at the end of the day I would have to make a cut, salami cut, across the board in all member states, also in those that are very competitive. I mean, this would be the worst solution of all, but I would not hesitate to do so, because that would be necessary. So I would now take contacts to some of those member states where we can see that an extra effort could be made. And I think, as I said previously, that the new bioethanol production could be a possibility for those areas where the sugar should go out, to use maybe the same buildings to continue a production of bioethanol. And then I think it's a bit of a paradox that we have a chemical industry that cannot get out of quota sugar. And I think it's a paradox that we have to open an export, an import quota to be able to deliver sugar for the chemical industry. Come on. Sometimes I think that the play or a game is going on out there somewhere. So.
There's a question.
Ja, Holler Ernährungsdienst. Frau Kommissarin, wie sieht das aus?
Ms. Commissioner, we still have the EU Commission decision pending on the import of rapeseeds, GMO rapeseeds from Canada. When will the decision come and what do you think the decision will be?
I must say, I am not exactly quite sure on this Canadian rapeseed. Has it been judged in the EFSA for the possibilities of any damage to health and to, or to environment, or is it coming up now first, and then we have the decision secondly in the Commission and in the Council? I must say I'm not completely updated where this issue is lying.
There's a lady in blue down there who had her hand up.
Then from Tierhaltung, I would like to ask you, Commissioner, if I understood you right, you just said that the production of renewable raw materials should require less pesticides than the growing of food. And I heard just the opposite from environmentalists, that renewable raw materials are being treated with rather large amounts of pesticides and that the environment is burdened with that. So what is true?
I don't know. I simply don't know whether you need to treat renewable energies, crops, with specific high amount of pesticides. To me, it sounds a bit strange.
Gruber Österreich.
Gruber from Austria, Notwehr Gemeinschaft. I'm a free journalist. Ms. Commissioner Fischer-Ball, if you please, I would like to say something about your interview in the Financial Times, and that is that you say in this interview that the grass sector will need to face drastic changes from 2013 on. And an Austrian newspaper then quotes you with this statement that the Commissioner Fischer-Ball, and then quote, "I think that then we will have an increase in the number of part-time farmers. They will live in the countryside, but will need to have an additional income from outside the agricultural sector. The world that is changing." Well, I know that all the agricultural subsidies and, of course, that the world itself is changing, although we may not want to face it. My question now is, according to the calculations of the Commission or the EU, if there are any calculations, how high will the number of farmers be that need to have an additional job? And don't you think that it is absolute bankruptcy if you have well-trained farmers and that you need to tell these well-trained farmers that they will need to have a second source of income so that they can really survive? This is something that is not really acceptable to anybody. Is it not a sad fact that farmers already need to have second jobs today? And this recommendation is now passed on to these farmers. And my second question is, in how far do you think that the position of Dr. Merkel as the president of the council, in how far do you think is Ms. Merkel competent to really start a new trial for the EU constitution, knowing that in Germany, as opposed to Austria, there is still no peace treaty signed with the victorious allies?
The Chancellor has shown leadership. And sometimes I think we are in badly need of leadership in Europe. On the discussion on part-time farming, I hope that the well-trained farmers, as you say, will still stay in the agricultural sector exclusively. And they will, because I have a meeting on Saturday with all the young farmers in Germany, and we have a conference in Brussels later this, I think it's in March, it's in April. With all the European young farmers. And there are some specific spirit of yes among the young farmers. They can and they will. But we need to give them this predictability, as I said before. We need to say or to discuss with them what will be the conditions for agriculture after 2013. That's what it is all about. And I have only said that if you are in a position that you have a farm of 5 or 10 hectares, you want to maintain your living in the rural areas, unless you have this diversified production, then you will need an income from outside. You cannot make a living out of 10 hectares with cereals. If you go into the fruit and vegetables, yes, but then you have this diversified production that I'm very much in favor of. So it's not that dramatic. Come on.
We've got time for two more very, very short questions. What was the second question? She answered the question, I think. So two more very quick questions. One there
leadership.
And one there. There's a question here at the front. Very quick, please.
Frau Kommissarin.
Commissioner, do you think that the future of the rural area will be secured by sticking to the first column that promotes enterprises that have the largest amount of arable land? It is especially in Germany the case that those regions have most social problems, are facing most social problems, where there are these large enterprises. And the money from the first column, is it really that well invested in those areas? And can this be justified in future times at all with a view of the social political impact?
Discussion on the new rural development regulation for 2007-2013. We made it quite clear to member states that it was important that they could take their own decisions. But we fixed targets for the different axes. For the competitive axis, minimum 10%. For the environmental axis, minimum 25%. And for the diversification axis, minimum 10%. And then the member states or the regions could decide by themselves how they wanted to distribute the rest. And I think, to be honest, I think that the local regions are much better to decide how to spend the money than I am sitting in my office in Brussels. Even if I'm often out there, I think they are much better.
Final question there, please. Nice short one.
Commissioner from the Farmers Journal in Ireland. When you spoke about energy imports, you said that the Commission would ensure that the imports were coming from regions where the production was environmentally sustainable. Does the same apply to beef imports into the EU? For example, beef produced in South America, will the EU ensure that the production systems are environmentally sustainable?
We have a clear decision that all imported products from the agricultural sector have to meet the same requirements on the level of food security that we have in Europe. If not so, it cannot be imported. So that's a general rule that we apply to all the products imported into the European Union.
Thanks very much, everyone. We're going to have to call a halt now on the press conference. There is now the prize giving of the Agricultural Journalist of the Year. So I hand over to the Master of Ceremonies. Thank you.